Chapter 41, verse 1. After 2 years' time, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. The cupbearer forgot Joseph, who languished in prison another 2 years. Verse 2. When out of the Nile, there came up 7 cows, handsome and sturdy, and they grazed in the reed grass. Verse 3. But presently 7 other cows came up from the Nile close behind them, ugly and gaunt, and stood beside the cows on the bank of the Nile. Verse 4. And the ugly, gaunt cows ate up the 7 handsome, sturdy cows, and Pharaoh awoke. Verse 5. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time. As noted, dreams were considered to have great significance when occurring in pairs. Verse 5 continued, 7 ears of grain, solid and healthy, grew on a single stalk. Verse 6, but close behind them sprouted 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind. Verse 7, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 solid and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke. It was a dream. Verse 8, next morning his spirit was agitated. And he sent for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but none could interpret them for Pharaoh. These dreams were so rich in detail and in clear, if undefined, symbolism, it is hard to imagine none of Pharaoh's wise men and magicians were able to offer some interpretation. It is likely they tried. The problem was, none were able to interpret the dreams to Pharaoh's satisfaction. Verse 9. The chief cupbearer then spoke up and said to Pharaoh, I must make mention today of my offenses. Finally, the cupbearer remembered Joseph. Verse 10. Once Pharaoh was angry with his servants and placed me in custody in the house of the chief steward, together with the chief baker. Verse 11, we had dreams the same night, he and I, each of us a dream with a meaning of its own. Verse 12, a Hebrew youth was there with us, a servant of the chief steward. And when we told him our dreams, he interpreted them for us, telling each of the meaning of his dream. Verse 13, and as he interpreted for us, so it came to pass. I was restored to my post, and the other was impaled. Verse 14. Thereupon Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was rushed from the dungeon. Pharaoh was immediately amenable to the cupbearer's suggestion that he call upon Joseph because of his trust in the cupbearer, and because none of his wise men could interpret the dreams. Pharaoh was clearly desperate. Verse 14 continued, he had his hair cut and changed his clothes, and he appeared before Pharaoh. This was done in order to make Joseph look as presentable as possible, and perhaps to make him look as Egyptian as possible. In the ancient Near East, only the Egyptians were clean-shaven, and the verb used here can equally refer to shaving the head or close-cropping it, another distinctive Egyptian practice. Altar. Verse 15. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. Now I have heard it said of you that for you to hear a dream is to tell its meaning. Verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, Not I. God will see to Pharaoh's welfare. As he had with the cupbearer and the baker, Joseph immediately emphasized he was merely a mouthpiece for God. And as always, when talking to non-Hebrews, Joseph used the universal name for God, Elohim. Verse 17. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Verse 18. When out of the Nile came up 7 sturdy and well-formed cows and grazed in the reed grass. Verse 19. Presently there followed them 7 other cows, scrawny, ill-formed, and emaciated, Never had I seen their likes for ugliness in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh, emotionally agitated, added his strong personal reaction in recounting his dream. He may also have added these words in an attempt to help Joseph interpret it. Verse 20, "And the seven lean and ugly cows ate up the first seven cows, the sturdy ones." Verse 21, "But when they had consumed them, one could not tell that they had consumed them, for they looked just as bad as before." This detail was also not mentioned in the original description of the first dream. Here again, Pharaoh inserted his own impressions. Verse 21, continued, "And I awoke." Verse 22, "In my other dream, I saw seven ears of grain, full and healthy, growing on a single stalk." Verse 23, "But right behind them sprouted seven ears, shriveled, thin, and scorched by the east wind." Verse 24, "And the thin ears swallowed the seven healthy ears. I have told my magicians, but none has an explanation for me." As in verse 8, Pharaoh was likely saying no one offered an explanation that satisfied him. That is the reason for the words, "for me." Verse 25, "And Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told Pharaoh what he is about to do." Verse 26, "The seven healthy cows are 7 years, and the seven healthy ears are 7 years. It is the same dream." Verse 27, "The seven lean and ugly cows that followed are 7 years, as are also the seven empty ears scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine." Verse 28, "It is just as I have told Pharaoh. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do." Verse 29, "Immediately ahead are 7 years of great abundance in all the land of Egypt." Verse 30, "After them will come 7 years of famine, and all the abundance in the land of Egypt will be forgotten, as the land is ravaged by famine." Verse 31, "No trace of the abundance will be left in the land because of the famine thereafter, for it will be very severe." Verse 32, "As for Pharaoh having had the same dream twice, it means that the matter has been determined by God, and that God will soon carry it out." Verse 33, "Accordingly, let Pharaoh find a man of discernment and wisdom and set him over the land of Egypt." Here, Joseph shifted from interpreting the dreams to offering advice. Clearly, Joseph was now a man of great confidence. He was just released from prison and was already comfortable advising the God King of Egypt. His confidence, in turn, was a testament to his certainty that his interpretations and advice came from God. Was Joseph so confident as to be shrewdly recommending himself as the man of discernment and wisdom to be set over the land of Egypt? It would seem so. Verse 34, "And let Pharaoh take steps to appoint overseers over the land, and organize the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty." Verse 35, "Let all the food of these good years that are coming to be gathered, and let the grain be collected under Pharaoh's authority as food to be stored in the cities." Verse 36, "Let that food be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will come upon the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish in the famine." Verse 37, "The plan pleased Pharaoh and all his courtiers." Pharaoh was pleased that Joseph did not just interpret his dreams, but also offered a solution to the looming crisis they foretold. Pharaoh was likely also impressed by Joseph's self-confidence and charisma, qualities that apparently had their effect on Potiphar's wife. That Pharaoh immediately believed his dreams were about Egypt, not about himself, marks him as a great leader. Great leaders, And Pharaoh's behavior throughout this episode shows him in a very positive light. Put their people's concerns above their own. It is one reason great leaders are rare. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his courtiers, "Could we find another like him, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Verse 39, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is none so discerning and wise as you." Verse 40, you shall be in charge of my court, and by your command shall all my people be directed. Only with respect to the throne shall I be superior to you. This is reminiscent on a much grander scale of Joseph's master Potiphar placing Joseph in charge of his estate. Genesis chapter 39, verse 6. Verse 41, Pharaoh further said to Joseph, "See, I put you in charge of all the land of Egypt." Verse 42, and removing his signet ring from his hand, Pharaoh put it on Joseph's hand, and he had him dressed in robes of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. Verse 43, he had him ride in the chariot of his second in command, and they cried before him, "Avrech." Thus he placed him over all the land of Egypt. Verse 44, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. Yet without you, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." While Pharaoh showered Joseph with praise and prizes, Joseph, who was so talkative and confident when explaining Pharaoh's dreams, said nothing. The likely reason is, whereas earlier he had been speaking words God put in his mouth, now that he was no longer speaking God's words, his meteoric rise from a prison cell to second most powerful man in Egypt left him dumbstruck. Verse 45. Pharaoh then gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah. The exact meaning of this ancient Egyptian name is unknown, though it undoubtedly signified something grandiose. In the Targum, one of the oldest translations of the Torah, it is interpreted as the man to whom mysteries are revealed, while the historian Josephus translated it somewhat similarly as the revealer of secrets. Whatever the name means, it testifies to the Torah's antiquity. Verse 45, continued, and he gave him for a wife Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Thus Joseph emerged in charge of the land of Egypt. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Leaving Pharaoh's presence, Joseph traveled through all the land of Egypt. Verse 47. During the 7 years of plenty, the land produced in abundance. Verse 48. And he gathered all the grain of the 7 years that the land of Egypt was enjoying, and stored the grain in the cities. He put in each city the grain of the fields around it. Verse 49. So Joseph collected produce in very large quantity, like the sands of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Verse 50. Before the years of famine came, Joseph became the father of two sons, whom Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Essay. In our personal life, it is good to forget. Verse 51. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning, God has made me forget completely my hardship and my parental home. This is one of the most important verses in the Torah. Take it seriously, and it will change your life. There are three elements to it. 1. Joseph willingly forgot his childhood pain. Joseph wanted to forget the pain of his family experience. This is evidence of Joseph's burgeoning psychological health and maturity. Most of us would do well to do the same with regard to our childhood pain. Few people grow up without family pain, and few people do well remembering that pain. One of the healthiest people I know is an adult woman who was molested by her father. If anyone has the right to remember their childhood pain and to resent their parents, she, and so many other molested women and men, does. Yet she chose to move on in life. She even forgave her father, even though he never apologized. In America in the 1990s, there was a popular psychotherapeutic movement known as recovered memory. In therapy or under hypnosis, suppressed memories of childhood trauma would allegedly be recovered. While some recovered memories were accurate, some memories were not, and some were exaggerated. Whatever the case, the impact was almost always negative, because the recovered memories almost inevitably alienated people from their parents and tore families apart. That movement was in many ways the opposite of Joseph's approach to childhood family pain. Try to forget, meaning do not dwell on it, and try to move on. In the previous chapter, I wrote how important memory is, so as to remain grateful for the good done to us or others, and to learn from the evil done to us or others. But in our personal lives, it is often best to remember only the good and to forget the painful. 2. The role of having a child in that process. It may be that the birth of his first child was what most enabled Joseph to forget the pain of his own childhood. When family relations during one's childhood are emotionally troubled, they can leave an emotional hole, a hole that can later be somewhat or entirely filled by having a child of one's own. For example, a man whose relationship with his father left an emotional hole might be able to fill that hole through a relationship with his own son. In this way, he still will have had a loving father-son relationship, but with him as father rather than son. 3. The role of God in this process. Joseph notes it was God who enabled him to forget those family hardships. That, too, is critically important. Every addict who has become sober through a 12-step program attributes his or her recovery to God, or at least to a higher power. The magnitude of the mistake the modern world has made in thinking we, individually and especially as a society, can thrive morally or psychologically without God is difficult to overstate. Demonstrating that fact is a primary reason for this commentary. Verse 52. And the second he named Ephraim, meaning, God has made me fertile in the land of my affliction. Verse 53. The 7 years of abundance that the land of Egypt enjoyed came to an end. Verse 54. And the 7 years of famine set in, just as Joseph had foretold. There was famine in all lands, but throughout the land of Egypt there was bread. Verse 55. And when all the land of Egypt felt the hunger, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he tells you, you shall do." Note that Pharaoh did not tell the Egyptian people, "Go to Zaphnath-Paneah," the name Pharaoh had given to Joseph. He told the Egyptian people to go to Joseph. Indeed, the Egyptian name is never used again. Why Pharaoh would refer to Joseph by his Hebrew name when speaking about him to the Egyptian people is, of course, not knowable, but there are at least three possibilities. 1. Pharaoh did so out of respect to Joseph. 2. In case Joseph's policies were unpopular, the Egyptian people would then blame a Hebrew, not Pharaoh. 3. Pharaoh had gained respect for the God of Joseph. See, for example, verse 39. Verse 56. Accordingly, when the famine became severe in the land of Egypt, Joseph laid open all that was within and rationed out grain to the Egyptians. The famine, however, spread over the whole world. The whole world meant the Near East, the world which the Torah is describing. The phrase is not necessarily literally true any more than, as everyone knows, means all the billions of people on earth know. Verse 57. So all the world came to Joseph in Egypt to procure rations, for the famine had become severe throughout the world.